When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, 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 aloha.
Aloha. I am recording from my Hawaiian vacation. This is how dedicated I am to this podcast. It's actually my last day here, and I only have like six more hours in the gorgeous Hawaiian sun, and I am taking an hour to record with you. So you're welcome.
Okay. I always find Hawaii to be underwhelming. And so I am curious if I have this all wrong.
I think you have it all wrong. I love Hawaii. I think Hawaii is so lush and green, and the water is so beautiful, and like the food is so amazing. I mean, we had some shaved ice yesterday that didn't even taste like ice. It was like out of this world. And then we had the most incredible fresh sushi. Yeah. And the food is amazing. The beaches are stunning. I just love how lush and green it is.
Is it warm enough though?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Really?
It's very humid, so it's been warm. Yeah. You might not know this, but Hawaii is in the South Pacific, Lauren. So actually, like, it's similar to like where you're at, I think. Like in terms of like, you know, if you draw a line across the globe, I think cartographers don't come for me.
I got turned off to Hawaii because of that one vacation you and I went on there together. And do you feel like that was not representative of Hawaii as a whole?
Yeah.
Vacationing there.
Okay. I think some of the bigger resorts like definitely make it feel very commercial and gross. But if you, we were staying on the North Shore for a little bit. That was like a little bit more off the beaten path. And then now we're actually at a resort in Waikiki. But yeah, I mean, I just think the beaches are incredible. And I really like Hawaiian culture. It's funny.
Mahalo, Chandler, for that little.
Well, I just think I'm a person who's kind of always on island time.
Oh, really?
I just feel like I'm a person who's a little bit more, you know, laid back, a little bit more breezy. And I just feel the most myself when I'm like near a big body of water, you know, and just taking it easy, not doing much. Like there's not a lot of exertion, I feel like, in Hawaii, which I like.
As someone who records with you and witnesses you get in a huff if we're even like slightly off schedule or something is amiss in your life, let me dispel the illusion that you are absolutely not someone who is on island time and laid back and casual.
Well, this is how I feel after 5 days here. I feel like I'm a new person. I'm laid back. I'm casual. I'm breezy.
She's renewed. Wait, Chandler, you said right before we hopped on to record, and I wanted the people to hear this, that you're loving your new watch. Can we talk about it?
I'm loving my new watch. Everyone, I got a Cartier Panther watch as a gift to myself for, you know, some work accomplishments. And it's so beautiful. I'm obsessed with it. It took a while to get to source, but it's spectacular.
Wait, can you show it?
Yeah. Oh, I feel very
so
chic.
Pretty. It's so pretty. I mean, okay, I love this watch so much, and you didn't even know you needed it until I brought you to Cartier in New York and was like, I want you to try this on. I want to see if this is something you would ever want.
That's absolutely correct. I didn't even know that, you know, I needed to spend this money, but the minute I put it on my supple skin, I was like, the money had already been spent in my head. So yeah, I knew I needed it. And it's, for me, it was the perfect treat for myself after getting promoted, because it's just something I'll have forever that I can like, you know, always look at and, you know, feel proud of myself for. So
Honestly, yeah, it's just like jewelry and timepieces. They are so timeless. And they really, like, above bags, above really almost anything else you can get in your life, they really are things that you can pass down. And they're just such fun purchases. So I'm excited
they're
for you.
They're so fun. Yeah.
I'm also excited to see it, like, styled with all of your current jewelry and your current vibe. Like, do you feel so grown up now with an engagement ring, with all your diamonds?
Look, I feel like one classy bitch, I'll say it.
Really? Have you gotten any compliments on it, by the way?
No, I think I haven't really been wearing it a ton. So here's what happened, actually. I bought it 2 days before I got engaged. And because I didn't know I was getting engaged. And so I came back from Portugal and I got the watch. The watch was like there. And I was like, okay, this feels weird. I don't want to like have two new pieces of like big jewelry. That just felt like a little bit over the top. So I actually delayed my gratification for like a month. And only on this trip did I start wearing it.
Well, I'm so excited to see it on you.
Well, thank you, Lauren. Well, enough about that. Enough hearing about us. Let's talk about some shows. Lauren, as we made our descent into New York, you know, from our beloved Guana Island trip, I got excited thinking about coming home to like my more simple routine food, like my Clean Simple Eats protein powder.
Yeah, I feel like it's such a good staple because the protein powder, if you blend it with ice and water, you got a vanilla frosty, essentially, if you like the Simply Vanilla. If you get chocolate brownie powder, you've got a chocolate frosty. You could do the mint chocolate chip, you got a thin mint frosty, or you just dissolve it in milk or water, and that also, strangely, tastes really good, like chocolate milk. It's a super fast, easy, quick snack. Also, I just love that the ingredients are clean, they're grass-fed. It's 20 grams of protein for 110 calories. It is just the best protein powder out there.
Everyone, go to cleansimpleeats.com and use the promo code POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off. That's POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off.
Cleansimpleeats.com, POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off. Let's talk about it, Chandler.
Do you want to get into The Golden Bachelor?
Please. Okay. I told you, I was like, Chandler, you need to watch The Golden Bachelor. I think it's going to be so good. We discussed it on the pod, I believe, right?
We did.
The gist is that my pitch to you was like, these girls are not going to be trying to be influencers. They're going to be real people. And, you know, it's just a whole different vibe.
Yes.
And so anyway, initial thoughts having watched it.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I made everyone that I was staying with at the Airbnb watch it with me because I wanted the collective thoughts as well. I did. Yeah. Yes, I did. I made us like watch it a couple nights ago. Initial thoughts. All right. Are you ready for me to just go off?
Oh, please.
First of all, Gary spelled G-E-R-R-Y, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe
Gary
so.
Is a total cutie. All right.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know like who was hired to give him this glow up, but I'm talking the hair, the coloring of the hair, the spray tan, potentially a little bit of Botox. I'm not sure. The works, I feel like, is what he got, and it's totally working for me. I think he's like so handsome. He looks very dashing for a 71-year-old man.
I mean, I think we need to ground everyone in the reality that this is not what 70-year-old men look like at all.
No.
Most 70-year-old men are more in the David Foster category, you know? It's just like there's a heavy wrinkling happening, jowls hitting the floor a la David Foster. Like it is just not the bright, golden, tight perfection that is the Golden Bachelor Gary.
So Gary to me is someone who looks, he looks 55 in my opinion. He also looks like a poor man's Harrison Ford.
And also, I will say, there's something about his whole entire home setup that is very Nicholas Sparks adjacent. Just he lives on a lake where he and his, you know, the love of his life and him, you know, that was their dream house that they built, except for she died suddenly, randomly from a bacterial infection.
Yes.
So it's not like he kicked her to the curb. No, he has the perfect reason to be single. I mean, ABC could not have cast a more perfect Golden Bachelor.
No, they absolutely could not. So everyone, we'll just set the scene. They open you know, on Gary talking about why he is widowed and the tragic backstory of his wife. Yeah, like Lauren said, she died suddenly of a bacterial infection. He gets very emotional when he's talking about her. You know, they had moved into their dream home and she passed away very soon thereafter. They were just beginning, you know, these sunset years of their life.
It's true.
And it had me gripped. It had me in tears. It had me thinking about, you know, what would that be like if that was Ben and I? I mean, and also I want to say his wife, like she just, I don't know. It just, it clearly that was, she was the love of his life and he is still sort of in the throes of grief. And I think that just speaks to, you know, what a soulful connection the two of them had. And, you know, he's really looking for, he's finally ready, I guess, to, you know, open his heart yet again.
You know, Chandler, it's true. No one can replace Tony.
Okay, his Bert and Ernie voice is real. I wish that we would have gotten like some speech therapy or something because his Bert and Ernie voice is so bad.
You don't stop believing. You don't. It is so bad. Tonight I'm going to find the woman of my dreams. I'm sorry.
Lauren, we're talking about only how cute he is right now. We can't get into the cheese ball yet.
I'll never replace Tony.
Okay.
Anyway, the Golden Bachelor has a total Kermit the Frog voice. It's pretty bad, yes. But anyway.
This is full of Kermit the Frog. I don't even know who Bert and Ernie are. Okay. Let me just say, this is my whole thesis statement on the Golden Bachelor, okay? And I actually am stealing this from Ben because Ben said this first and I was like, boom, that's my thought.
Okay.
The highs are higher and the lows are so much lower. Oh,
I mean, it's literally like you actually gave me that quote referring to like getting work done on your face. Like as you get older, you think you said the highs are high and the lows are lower. And I absolutely believe that's correct. And it absolutely applies to the Golden Bachelor as well. Because when you see the women in the teasers brokenhearted, it's not the same as Jessica, 22, marketing specialist, getting dumped. It's a very different feeling, okay?
I'm getting ahead, but the last 20 minutes of the rose ceremony were some of the darkest television I've ever seen. It was so morbid and sad to realize that, you know, when these women didn't get a rose, they were not only were they going home to an empty home, but the sun is setting on their life and they're going home to an empty home.
Okay. I'm not sure the sun is quite setting on their life, Chandler. They still have decades in front of them.
It is. It's over.
But there
it's
is
over, baby.
There is a distinct feeling of like, it might be 10 years before she finds someone else, you know, because I think dating when you get older is just significantly harder. Significantly.
I mean, if she has 10 years, if she even has 10 years.
Chandler is full ageist in this episode. It's so rude.
No, I'm not ageist. It's a reality. It's an absolute reality. I mean, things happen all the time.
Well, some of them are like in their 70s. Like in 70, it's true. Like 70, once you get into your 70s, you might just have 10 years left at any given point. That's absolutely the case. Or less.
But before we get into that darkness, I want to raise a glass to these women, all right?
Oh my gosh.
Every single woman that got out of the limo, I adored. I adored.
Really? You adored?
Yes. I mean, I have specific favorites, but let me tell you why I love them. And you touched on this when we first talked about it, but they all looked hot. I feel like they all brought it. And I love that they all showed most of them showed a good amount of skin. Like they were slutting it up and I was here for it. You know, I was seeing tits. I was seeing everything.
Mm-hmm. We got legs. We got tits out. We got lots of skin showing.
They also came on strong. Mm-hmm. They were kissing. They were touching. Mm-hmm. Time is of the essence, in my opinion.
Oh my gosh.
And they were not missing that.
Yes, it's absolutely the case, Chandler. But I am curious. I want to get your thoughts, though, on the woman who showed up in her birthday suit to celebrate her birthday. This was Teresa, I believe. Yes, Teresa showed up. She had a black silky robe on. It was her 70th birthday. And she said to Gary, she said, I decided that why not, since it's my birthday, then she moves the robe past her shoulders, mm-hmm. gives him a glimpse of the of a bare shoulder. She says, why not show up in my birthday yep. suit? And then she opens her robe and the Bachelor cameramen or producers flash to above so you can see what she's flashing Gary. And while she was not actually naked, she did just have on like a nude tube dress that barely covered her crotch. It was pretty nude adjacent. And I am dying for your thoughts on this moment, because this was my cringe moment of the episode.
Okay, Lauren, while it did also make me cringe, while I was kind of like covering my eyes when she started to, you know, undo her robe, I also kind of ate it up. I mean, these women have nothing left to lose.
Nothing left to live for. These women are in the grave.
I'm like, I think I'm going to be like probably a widow with all the karma I'm like putting out there right now. But I
for
just,
real.
This is the thing. They're not trying to, you know, build their IG reputation so that they can sell skinny me tea. They are there to make a mark. They are there mm-hmm. for their last ditch attempt at finding love.
No, it's absolutely the case. And they come in strong and hot. I have to tell you, the first woman out of the limo, Edith, had such a mm-hmm. radiance, such a gold, her that golden dress and skin. I mean, it definitely gave me a lot of feeling of like, oh, like you can be like so radiant for so long.
Yes. Here's what I'm going to say. May we all be as lucky to look like an Edith in our golden years, because
yeah, absolutely
that woman, ravishing. She was spectacular. She, you know, all the damage that the age filter did to me on TikTok, like she undid all that. She healed that part of my yeah. my mm-hmm. soul. Mm-hmm. She undid all that. And I just think if I can hold on to my Dyson Airwrap for the next 40-50 years, I'm gonna be okay.
Oh, Chandler, you,
because her hair was air wrapped to, you know, high heaven.
The sun is not setting for you for decades and decades and decades, if Edith is telling us anything.
I think I'm going to go get a lifetime warranty on my Dyson after seeing this episode.
You absolutely should. Can we talk about another woman with a spectacular blowout, which would be who I think might be the star, April? Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, the sheer sex appeal and charisma and just magnetic energy that April possesses.
You and I came out of the same womb because we are both very sexually attracted to April. I don't know what it is about her energy. It might have also been the deep cut of her dress. It was chaotic. I just know she's a freak. Behind closed doors, she's a freak.
Oh my gosh. April came out with tits out. She hops out of the limo. She's this little blonde thing. She hops out of the limo, tits out in this basically like this like silk, this kind of like brown silk dress. Very, very sheer almost. Okay. And she walks up mm-hmm. to Gary with a basket of eggs and proceeds to tell Gary that she was raised on a chicken farm and that her eggs are still fresh. And then she proceeds to balk, 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 like she's a chicken and slap her ass. And you guys, somehow this is arousing. I don't know how, but it is.
Her energy is so chaotic. She's definitely a pot stirrer, but I want to be in the middle of her storm.
Okay, absolutely. She's the first one to pull Gary away. And when she pulls Gary away, she shows him a gift that she's made for him, which is a year calendar where you guys, for every month, there is a different photo of her in a different photo shoot. We have April in front of a haunted mansion. We have April on the chicken farm. We have April as the Easter bunny.
I thought.
And then every month is also April. I mean, what an excellent gift.
Every month is April. That's what I was going to say. No, it's perfect. She's perfection. She's definitely mm-hmm. a star. I think she's absolutely going to make it to the final five. But I want to talk for a moment about okay. someone who I know you and I could both be very happy with.
Okay.
You ready? Leslie. Yeah.
Oh, Leslie.
Leslie, who has like Kelly Ben Simone
energy. Leslie is phenomenal, everyone. Leslie comes out of the limo in the old person outfit. Okay. So she's dressed like a granny with like a gray wig and she has like a walker. And so she's kind of like coming out all gingerly from the limo and Gary's like, can I help you? And she throws the walker to the side. She throws off her, rips off her dress, rips off her wig, and like tosses her hair around. She's like, do I look like I need any help, Gary? And anyway, yeah, Leslie came out hot and strong. She also flexed in the episode that she dated Prince, and the song Sexy Dancer is about her.
I mean, I get it. I understand it. She has very youthful energy. You can tell that she moves well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she also, like, to me, looks very, like, young for her age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, also, like, she just, I don't know. She screams youth to me. She seems more youthful than me. I know. Oh, I know that for a fact.
That both of us combined. Then. Absolutely. Leslie paddleboards. Mm-hmm. She dances. Yeah. She's an amazing woman. I do think she's going to be a major front runner this season.
Yes. I honestly feel like if I was one of the women on the show and I saw Leslie walk in, I would probably just walk out.
Yeah. I don't know that there's a lot of competition between April and Leslie, and then Faith. I mean, let's talk about Faith for a second. So Faith pulls Gary to the side. She comes up on a motorcycle. I mean, how vivacious can you get? Okay.
Very then vivacious.
She proceeds to pull Gary aside and play him a song on her guitar. Now, ordinarily, this would cringe me out, but Gary, like, was lapping it up. Gary seemed to be loving the performance by Faith.
Here's what I'm going to say. Even when the genders are swapped and it's the woman playing the guitar for the captive man, to me, it is still the cringiest thing and it's still my worst nightmare. But mm-hmm. Gary, exactly. He was lapping it up. He was swept away in her song. And I mean, can I spoil it?
I think it's fine. I think it's fine. Yeah.
She gets the first impression rose because of that little song and dance.
Gary says he brings the first impression rose to her and he goes, this is not because you sang me that special song or because you came up on the motorcycle. It's because of what you're doing right now, which is making me feel very special. Anyway, it is. Here's the thing I'll say about the
quote. Your Gary impression is my favorite thing. It's really good.
I said to Tony, I'm taking you to the hospital. No, actually, I probably shouldn't reenact that scene.
Yeah, don't. Okay, I will say that I had a reality check really quick because that woman kept bringing up her friend who had cancer. Yeah. And I didn't realize that her friend had passed away, but because I was making comments like it was a little hammed up. And then I saw at the end that she'd passed away. Wow. And I felt very guilty. I'm like getting so much bad karma for my thoughts on this whole entire show. I need to stop.
The one lady comes out of the limo and it's like, Roberta, we made it. This is apparently her friend who had cancer at the time it was filming. The friend has now passed away. But anyway, and Gary's like, may I ask who Roberta is? And yes, this was a friend of hers who is a late friend now. Anyway.
Yeah. Sad. Very tragic. Very sad.
I think there's a few things that people need to know. The Golden Bachelor is only 1 hour, so it's really easy to get through. It's not like the normal Bachelor, which is way too long in both of our opinions, correct?
Right, right. It's only 1 hour exactly, so that definitely makes it more digestible. I will say what was interesting to me is that, you know, we know that that first night is a very long night for the people on the show, and they definitely did not go easy on these older people because if you could tell, I don't know if you noticed this, by the time it was the rose ceremony, it was like early morning light. Like they had all those people up all night long.
It was not even dawn. It was completely bright. It was like 8 a.m. it looked like. Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
The one downfall I would say is that I think it is quite saccharine and quite cloying. So I hope that a little bit of people's crazy come out. I hope there is some drama. I hope Gary has a little more dimension than just being like, it seems a little Hallmarky, the whole thing. Do you agree?
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does. I mean, the show itself is already kind of Hallmarky. So like throwing in, you know, the golden element is definitely going to make it real cringe. But I don't know. I might keep watching.
Will there be a villain on The Golden Bachelor? That is a question I have.
We know who the villain is.
Who?
It's April.
Oh, April would be a good villain. Okay, well, Chana, let's move on, shall we, from The Golden Bachelor to, do you want to discuss Roni or do you want to discuss Taylor next?
I want to talk about Roni. Lauren, the wall behind you, it's quite barren. What's going on there?
You know what? I find getting things framed to be very stressful. And so I've just never done it. I don't basically have anything framed in my home. And it's sad for me.
It's very sad, which is why we are so lucky to be sponsored by Framebridge right now.
Yes, I am so excited to correct this wrong in my life. What's so great about Framebridge is for other people also intimidated by a gallery wall, if you go on their website, you can just very quickly, easily upload like 5 photos or whatever it is, and they will send you different dimensioned, cute frames, beautiful, sleek, modern, so you can just hang your gallery wall and it's good to go.
They make it very easy on a layperson like yourself. Everyone, see why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Okay, let's talk about Roni. You're finally caught up, I presume?
Mm-hmm, I am indeed.
Okay, how are you feeling about this season? What are you thinking?
I am still enjoying this season. I will be watching the next season. Mm-hmm. You know, I am not off the train. I think that the dynamics still feel new and somewhat exciting to me. I think that I am so into Jenna Lyons. Mm-hmm. You know, with every episode, I feel like I just like her more and more. One thing that kind of came out in the more recent episodes is that she talked in detail about how her mom had Asperger's, severe Asperger's, mm-hmm. and she didn't realize it until she was in her 40s.
Yeah.
And that there was never allowed to be any noise in their house. So it was just like eerily quiet all the time and she wasn't allowed to make any noise. And I was really struck by how awful and, you know, damaging I think that would be. I don't know if you noticed that or had thoughts on it.
Well, I think that she also said that her mom was not good at showing affection and not good at showing love. Yes. So I'm honestly amazed that Jenna Lyons seems to be such a well-adjusted person to have grown up, honestly, with such a kind of traumatic mother. Because that's just like such a deep wound. Also, did you notice this about Jenna Lyons?
Yes.
I feel like Jenna Lyons is very polished. And I think that when you're a person who is A, in corporate America for many decades, but also you're in positions of leadership, you learn to really navigate difficult situations with a lot of composure, with a lot of grace. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're seeing that play out on Housewives, where Jenna seems to always really stay above the fray and stay above it and kind of never get in the muck. She really seems to like bring out the best in her castmates. And I think that it's a little bit jarring for people to watch because I've seen quite a few comments that are like, she's so miscast. But I really think it's a breath of fresh air to have someone on the cast who really is well behaved.
Yes, she's very poised. Another element of her poise, I would say, is that a lot of times she's wearing a lot more clothing than the other women. Mm-hmm. And this is going to, you know, refute what I had said earlier about how much I was loving the skin being shown on The Golden Bachelor. But I almost think a lot of times, and we know that this is a little bit because of her condition and, you know, she doesn't like to show a lot of skin, but a lot of times she looks the best and she's wearing the most clothing. And I think it's just another testament, I'll say, to being fashionable doesn't always mean showing a lot of skin.
Oh, absolutely not. No, that's definitely the case. I mean, I think she just has such good style. And also, like, I don't think we've ever really had someone highbrow on the show. We've never had someone who, like, seemingly, for all I know, who knows art, who probably goes to exhibitions, who knows, you know, who seems to be a person who really occupies a space within culture that is a lot more refined. And so I find that on Housewives to be such a breath of fresh air. And whose style is so not tailored to the male gaze. Her style is really special. It's really unique. It's very eclectic and it's a very masculine, but not in like a Meredith Marks kind of way where the tits are always out. There's something about Jenna Lyons' style that is also really fun to watch because you can tell she's really dressing for herself. So anyway, I'm loving her as well.
The other thing I'll just add to that is you can always tell she looks comfortable too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, exactly. Which is honestly like one of the sexiest things when someone always looks like they're dressing for their own comfort. I will say there's just a lack of desperation that is very attractive.
Agreed. Okay. Do you want to know who's really emerged as someone I like on the cast?
Yeah. Yes, please.
I love Sai.
Oh, okay. That's so interesting, Chandler, because she is catching so much flack online right now. Like, people do not like her. Like, they're actively disliking her.
Okay, I don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
Why don't they like her?
I think because it seemed like she was really hard on Jussel in the last episode. And people just didn't feel like Jussel deserved that. And they feel like Sai is super cold. This is just what I'm reading. There's also, so this is something that's kind of the tea right now, but the major gossip and rumor that's going around is that Sai met her husband while working for him at his bar and had an affair with him.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did see this. Yeah. There's tea around her. Clearly she's not necessarily a fan favorite. I just think she was someone who I had neutral feelings for at the beginning. Mm. And now I think she's been like really fun to watch. I think she adds to every like dinner party in a way where Brynn is kind of always bringing like the, you know, inappropriate jokes and all that type of thing. Like, I just feel like Sai brings like excited energy. I also appreciate that she's like kind of always snacking in every scene. Like, that feels like relatable queen to me.
Yeah.
She's always like, can we get some food? At one point, Aaron and Uba are like finishing their conversation, or Aaron and Brynn. And Sai's like, I want to order. And Aaron's like, just wait till we finish our conversation. And Sai's like, I need to order my salad. Okay. Like, I don't want to wait. I've been enjoying her more, but yeah,
I'm
a little curious about those rumors. Beautiful.
She's stunning. I would say no one in the cast is someone I'm disinterested in. So whenever someone's on the screen, there's not like, oh, this is Teddy's scene. You know, I can go to the restroom now. Like, I'm genuinely curious about everyone and I like their scenes. So it's fun to watch. What did you think about the fight in Anguilla over Uba's phone? Did you feel like Uba was overreacting, or did you feel like that was an appropriate reaction to your phone being hidden from you?
I think it's really annoying to have your phone taken from you. I mean, if my phone's gone for more than 90 seconds, I'm like, where's my phone? But I do think her taking it to the level of like, my parents always need to check in on me. And this is, you know, single girls need more, you know, no one talks about single girls. Like, I was just like, snooze. Like, this is now, you know, you've taken it to a level where no one's buying this.
Well, that just seemed so fake to me. Like, I'm sorry, but I was a single girl until I was 27. I never checked in with my parents every night. Like, to me, that's actually very strange to be a woman in her late 30s and to be saying goodnight to your parents every night because they're so worried about where you could be. That to me is like, okay, you need to grow up. This is a you problem. This is not an Aaron problem.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but like, I never felt like when I was single, like, you know, there was not enough support for single girls. Like, I don't know. I guess I was also in a different phase of life, but I thought that was such a stretch.
Well, it's just, I'm sorry, but like, it's very strange to check in with your parents in your late 30s just because you're single. Like, that's just weird. That's just weird.
Yes.
Yeah. And I actually kind of call bullshit on it. I don't think it's real. I actually don't think it's real. I think it's one of those things this was, I think, very astute of Aaron. When Brynn said on the show that when she got her eggs frozen, they asked her at the clinic who would be fertilizing them. That was bullshit. Like, that was a lie. They don't actually ask you that.
No one asked that. That feels like a total breach of privacy. And like, who your sexual partners are a little bit. It's just like, you don't need to know that information.
Also, the point of freezing your eggs most of the time is because you don't have a partner. And so it's like, or a serious one. And so it's just like, it's such a weird lie. And I think Aaron was 100% correct that it was a lie. And when Brynn doubled down, it was just like, come on. But anyway, I think that Uba lied as well. She had a crazy emotional reaction because she's probably just someone who has a bad temper. And so to create some sort of dramatic excuse for why she behaved the way she did, she said all of that. And I'm sorry. I don't believe that any woman in their late 30s actually checks in with their parents every night because their parents are so worried that they're single. So they don't know where they are.
Well,
anyway,
I think it's annoying to have your phone stolen. Like, I think it's annoying to have your phone taken from you and to like have that be a prank. I think that to me is just, it's just annoying. It's not some huge deal. It's just more annoying. And like, I think you steal someone's phone for a little bit of time and then you give it back to them and then it's like, it's over. It's not something you do for an extended amount of time.
Right,
I do want to say really quick about Brynn. I'm kind of over her crush on Jenna bit. I'm over her, like,
it's all so that.
It's to me, it's feeling really cringe now. Yeah.
It's really cringe. It's really tired. And here's the thing that I don't like about it. And I feel like it's obvious that she doesn't actually have a crush on Jenna. And so to me, it's almost kind of insulting because it's like, oh, you're so not attractive to me that I can joke about being into you. And that's how it came across to me.
It's total queer baiting, in my opinion, where she's not actually going to have a relationship with her. She's not actually going to like act on any of these feelings, quote unquote, physically, but she's going to make this whole scene about it. And then I also think that it kind of reduces Jenna to just being like a lesbian.
For sure. Yeah. It's just, honestly, it's such a weird, inappropriate joke to make. And I don't know. A different side of the same coin, I'm honestly finding Brynn's flirtiness and her over the top, you know, kind of flirtatious sexual behavior to kind of be tired to me. I would actually say if there's someone on the cast who I like find to be a little bit grating or who I'm less interested in, it's become Brynn because I feel like she's a little bit of a one trick pony.
Yeah, I agree. Another thing with Brynn, we started to hear more about her job and she talked about how she wanted to be a doctor, but then she started to do PR and she mentions how her current job, she gets paid a lot of money and she only has to work 10 hours a week. Okay. In my opinion, I'm like, girl, shut up. If you have this cush of a setup, do not talk about it on the show. That will alert your company that you need more projects. That will also just like look bad. Like to me, that was the dumbest thing ever, was to brag about how little she works and how much money she gets paid.
Well, and I think that it's probably bullshit. Like a lot of people are very side-eyeing the idea that she's a consultant 10 hours a week and makes great money because it's all very ambiguous, you know, where that comes from. And she does have the personality that I think like if she were a sugar baby, I would not be surprised because she has that like she has that personality. Like I don't have this. I cannot just turn on and become flirtatious with anyone. But there are some girls who literally can turn it on like a switch. And it doesn't matter who they're around.
Yep.
They can become super sexual and super flirtatious with. I would not be surprised if it comes out that she's someone's sugar baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, you know,
that does sound like a really cush job where you only work for 10 hours a week and you get paid a lot of money.
It's all making sense.
I'm a consultant. Let's talk about Erin.
Okay. Let's talk about her.
I really liked Erin at the beginning of the season. I still like her. I do think that she, after seeing these episodes unfold and all these fights and drama and little pranks and stuff, couple things. She doesn't really ever apologize. She's not quick to apologize at all. And I feel like we saw almost very few apologies from her.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
second thing, when she calls her dad, that to me was very unrelatable. Like calling your dad about your friend drama while you're in your late 30s, very odd.
Very odd. I mean, it's honestly was super cute. I can never imagine calling my dad about friend drama. My dad would be like so checked out of that conversation. He'd be like, oh, sorry, I was too busy looking at the prices. I'm at Costco. What did you say? She did what? Anyway, it's very unrelatable. You're right.
Yeah. So I'm curious what your takeaways were about her after these last few episodes.
You know, I really like Erin, actually. I think she's probably one of my favorites on the cast. She occupies kind of like a Carol Radziwill voice of reason, kind of similar to Jenna. I think she's really pretty. I did find it to be very cringe when her and her husband talked about how they wanted to potentially be swingers in 10 years. Like, that to me is just like something that you say when you're a couple drinks deep to friends and then you ultimately really regret disclosing that information, let alone on national television. I don't know. I'm also very off-put, I think, when people try to like seem really sexual.
Yeah, I still like her. I just think that she came across as someone who was a little bit more of a spoiled brat, in my opinion. Like, I feel like she couldn't ever really apologize and she just would, you know, leave. She like when she like left the beach bar and she was less likable to me after these vacation episodes.
See, but I just don't think she ever really had much to apologize for. Like, I just don't even think she did much wrong.
She just like, I think she, like she said that thing about Jenna, like how she wouldn't, you know, fly commercial. I just think that she's the one who actually does a good amount of the shit talking.
I think she does stir the pot a little bit, but I just think that the punishments have always been far worse than the crimes for Aaron, in my opinion.
So another moment where Aaron became less likable to me. All of the women are sharing embarrassing stories, okay? They are, you know, revealing something that is pretty embarrassing. For example, Uba says that she, you know, had toilet paper, you know, that she dragged throughout the club. And Bryn says that she put a tampon in the wrong hole. Jenna talks about like falling and, you know, at some restaurant or something celebrity helping her up. I don't remember all the details. But then Erin shares her story. And this is to me where I was like, you're not a real one. And her embarrassing story was like, one time my baby cried the whole time on a plane. First of all, that's not about her. That's about her baby. That's also very understandable and relatable. Like, no one's going to fault her for that. That's not an embarrassing story. Like, get real, bitch.
Okay, I agree with you there. I agree with you that that being her embarrassing story was not embarrassing at all. And maybe she is very image focused and doesn't want to have an embarrassing story of her out there, of herself out there. And so there's something about her that's a little off-putting there. I will give you that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for giving me that.
The one thing I'm actually grateful for about her is I actually like that she kind of owns basically being like privileged or whatever, and that she didn't struggle a lot and that her parents helped her. Because to be honest with you, I'm kind of overhearing everyone's sob stories. Like, I swear to you, it will be an innocuous morning in Anguilla and Sai and Uba will be sitting down for breakfast on the deck and there will be like a platter of fruit in front of them. And Sai will be like, oh, you know, we didn't have fruit growing up and we can never afford it. And it doesn't matter what's going on. Someone has to bring up like their tragic childhood, especially on this Anguilla trip. And it's a little exhausting to watch.
Yep. And I think it's also, I think that the girls are too hard a little bit on Jessel, and I find Jessel to be kind of annoying. They're a little too hard on her for not having a hard enough upbringing.
Well, it's
like, I think
like,
that's annoying to be rude to someone about.
It just seems like everyone is like competing for the most tragic story. And it's just like, I thought it was great to hear all those stories at first, but now it's become a little repetitive and kind of a downer.
Correct.
Okay, let's talk about Travis and Taylor Chandler. So Taylor attended the New York Jets game versus the Kansas City Chiefs, and Taylor Swift was out in full force at the game with her celebrity posse. She had Blake Lively there. She had Sabrina Carpenter. She had Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman. Sophie Turner made an appearance in the box. What are your thoughts?
I mean, this is just reaching fever pitch, in my opinion. I don't know how much more we can take. Hugh Jackman in the week of his divorce? What? Well,
I know. Hugh Jackman being there just seems so random. The thing I will say about this is I feel so bad, Chandler, for the people who are not Taylor Swift fans because they thought they had it bad during the Eras tour. Like, Taylor content never stopped when she was touring. It was all over social media, people in their outfits, going to the concerts, like the US tour. It was all Taylor all the time. Cut to, there's a break in the tour, and all those non-Taylor fans were going to get a blessed respite and reprieve from Taylor content. At least that's what they thought, until Travis Kelce entered the chat, and all of a sudden, Chandler, we're hearing more about Taylor Swift now than we were during the US leg of the Eras tour.
I'm getting an update about her, I would say, every 3 to 4 hours.
And this might come as a shock, but as a diehard Taylor stan, I'm almost getting a little fatigued by all the Taylor talk and all the Taylor content.
Oh my gosh.
And you know what it is? Here's the reason. I am obsessed with
Taylor
Swift.
I'm not ready to admit that yet.
I'm obsessed with Taylor Swift, but I kind of feel like it used to be like Taylor and my relationship with Taylor and my fandom, it was like a private thing. And it was kind of my thing. And I feel like with the Eras tour and now all of this press coverage, my joy, I just realized how pedestrian and universal and really unexceptional and non-unique my love of Taylor Swift is. And it's been a hard pill to swallow.
I'm really sorry. I'm really, really sorry because it is true. There's nothing unique about loving Taylor Swift. Your contrarian nature is probably, you know, really struggling with this because you are used to being a contrarian. You're used to not liking something everyone else likes.
Correct.
And so I'm really sorry. And my heart is with you at this time.
Thank you so much. But yeah, I feel so bad for people who actively are 0% interested in Taylor Swift, because they must be so annoyed at all the constant Taylor Swift content that's just shoved down everyone's throat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she is the biggest star of our time.
And she's
crazy
really
to say.
All we're talking about. She's all people are talking about, basically. There's very little celebrity news. Hence why we had half this episode about the Golden Bachelor and Roni. I mean, there's not a ton right. going on except for Taylor Swift.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not sick of updates from her. I think I'm a little over talking about it only because I don't feel like I have anything new to say. Like the new thing I had to say was that I found Travis to be really attractive. Like I have no more new takes. I mean, the only other new take, this isn't even a new take, but the only other thing that I kind of want to talk about is Blake Lively's fashion, which I've talked about before. So well, I'm out. I'm fresh out of ideas.
I will say, I think that seeing what good of friends Taylor is with Blake Lively is making me question whether I need to rethink Blake Lively or potentially rethink Taylor Swift a little bit. Because...
or yourself for judging
her. Or myself. Or everything I've ever known. But Blake Lively has always just rankled me. She's always just been kind of annoying to me. I've never been a Blake Lively stan or a major fan. And I've honestly kind of found her to be actively annoying. And I don't have articulated reasons for why.
Yes.
Do you? Do you know why you find her to be annoying? Okay, please share.
So it's actually, it's not just her. I find her and Ryan Reynolds, like they're internet back and forth, for a while there, they were doing like a lot of like clapbacks and like, look at how, you know, I'm going to be self-deprecating about my wife or my husband, blah, blah, blah. And I just found that to be so annoying and not real at all.
Yeah. Their social media content, annoying. Blake Lively's outfits. What words
annoying
we use? Annoying is putting it kindly.
Actually,
it's generous.
All I'm going to say is that I wanted to talk about it at length and you said, quote, I don't really want to be a mean girl, end quote.
Oh, that is true. That is true. I think that everyone needs to check out Blake Lively's outfits, okay? And just send us some DMs because they're concerning to say the least. How are you feeling about the NFL being so thirsty? Like, to me, this is so embarrassing that they need this PR so badly from Taylor Swift. Like, Taylor Swift is putting the NFL on the map.
No, she absolutely is. She's putting Travis Kelce on the map. 100%. No one had heard of him before. That's the only time where I start to think this is maybe a publicity thing. I start to see how much like the NFL is changing their Twitter bio or X bio or whatever.
Right.
You know, like that's when I'm like, oh, why are they really milking this?
Also, you know, Taylor has a lot of dates left. Not that I think they're all sold out anyway. But Taylor Swift has an album coming out, you know, 1989 Taylor's Version. I'm sure there's an album of new music forthcoming at some point. It does behoove Taylor Swift to be in the press. It does behoove her to be talked about.
It does.
And it's a choice of hers to be out in full force, to give us all this content. So she's definitely benefiting too, just Travis Kelce.
Let's talk about another person who wants to be in the press or who called the press on herself. None other than Kyle Richards with a back grid paparazzi moment at LAX.
So Kyle Richards, yes, she was coming home, it seemed, leaving LAX, and paparazzi, you know, they stormed exactly where she was in LAX. You guys, this is so embarrassing to me because she clearly called them. This was clearly set up because it was back grid and because it's not like, I mean, Chandler, I've flown into LAX many times. I've never seen TMZ. I've never seen background. I've never seen any photographers. Mm-mm, mm-mm. They don't just camp out at LAX. So it was very clearly set up.
And
but then Kyle Richards appeared to be annoyed and flustered by them being there, like rolling her eyes, like, go away. And it's just so funny to me.
It was so weird, giving Rachel
outside the nail salon.
She had like this weird smile on her face the whole time. And I don't know if it was like her lip filler or something, like no judgment, but like she had like this weird look on her face that the whole thing seems so contrived. And then, she did, you know, they were like, Kyle, one more question for you. Just one more question. And she's like, I really don't like to do this or whatever. And it was just when the whole thing was from Backgrids, you know, that she called them on herself to like deliver this news that her and Mauricio are separated.
Right. Okay. My take on this, Chandler, is I think that it is no coincidence that Mauricio has given a statement on that podcast. Then he talked to reporters. He talked to TMZ. Now Kyle has talked to Backgrid. In my opinion, we know that Real Housewives of Beverly Hills drops on November 1st. I personally think this is coordinated. This is planned. This is PR to get people talking about the new season and the drama that's going to unfold between Kyle and Mauricio on the new season of Beverly Hills. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think this is her securing, you know, another year, another storyline, and I can't wait to watch.
I also cannot wait to watch. Okay, well, everyone, we are going to be with you on Friday on Patreon, Chandler. So if you love the show, if you love this podcast, please consider becoming a subscriber. That is absolutely what keeps us on the airwaves. And also, we haven't had a new review in over a month. So if people would find it within the kindness of their hearts to leave us a 5-star review on Apple, that really makes a difference for the show. It's a huge, huge help. So please leave us a review.
Please, please. It means everything. We love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Yes.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you on Friday.
That's right. On Patreon. Bye.
That's all for now, folks. Don't forget, give us a 5-star review. Hit us up on Instagram at PopApologists. And we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.